The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, January 16th through Sunday, January 22nd, 2023. The commentary for January was written by Ellis Liu, a youth minister at Christ Church in Bronxville, New York. In her spare time, she enjoys keeping up with sitcoms, stress baking, and good coffee. We begin with the passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. When it says he's ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? The commentary is as follows. He descended to the dead is a short but loaded line in the Apostles' Creed. Our medieval teachers believe that Jesus died, descended into hell, and broke apart the bonds of death and opened the doors of hell. Our Orthodox siblings have wonderful icons that depict the great moment of resurrection. Jesus is holding Adam and Eve by their wrists, and he pulls them up right out of hell. Christ's victory over death itself is why we can say that human life is changed at death, not ended. Today's verse is but an aside from St. Paul, who, while in prison, writes that Christ made captivity itself a captive. Despite the reality of his condition, Paul kept the faith in the promises that God made to proclaim release for captives and freedom for the oppressed. We may join Paul in paraphrasing the prophet Hosea, "Where, O death, is your sting?" Not because we no longer know suffering or the pain of grief, but because God refuses to allow death to define our lives. God takes on flesh, even into the depths of hell, to redeem even death in our lives. And now I'll read the full passage for this day from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And the moving forward question for this Monday, January 16th, have you thought about Jesus descending into hell, and what does that mean to you? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, January 17th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 34 and 35. And looking at those who sat around him, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." As a child, I found solace in praying to God the Father. I learned to speak to God just as closely as I would a dear friend. Every Sunday, we joined our voices to profess our Father, our faith in the Father, who eternally begat the Son. As a young adult, I was invited to think about what it might mean to speak of God as Mother. Our scriptures are full of metaphors of God as a comforting, protective Mother. The most helpful for me is Jesus describing himself as a mother hen who gathers us under his wings. Medieval mystics ran with this understanding of Jesus as mother. Out of Jesus' side wound, the salvation of the world is birthed, and all things are made new. The mythology of the mother pelican who feeds her young with her own blood took on new meaning in the early church. Jesus feeds us with his body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Eucharist. Today's reading invites us into yet another relationship with God, brother, sister, sibling. And now I'll read from the gospel passage for this day. It's from Mark chapter 3, verses 19b through 35. Then he went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He had Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, alternate your prayers with different names for God: Father, Mother, Sister, Brother, and Sibling. Now the commentary for Wednesday, January 18th. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. I grew up in the house next to my grandmother's younger sister. My mother, her parents, and siblings all converted to Christianity at her witness. I was baptized in the small Rhenish church they attended in Hong Kong. At my great-aunt's funeral, I learned how deep her faith ran. Her pastor preached about how he would visit her at her apartment, which was filled with dozens of small notebooks. Every day she would sit and read her Bible and copy down verses to remember them. She was buried with her well-annotated personal Bible. Today I'm struck by how Peter and John get recognized as companions of Jesus. At Jesus' arrest, it is Peter's Galilean accent that betrays him to the bystanders as a companion of Jesus. In the early bustling days of the church, it is uneducated and ordinary people who proclaim the gospel. Let us follow their example of boldness in the service of healing and resurrection and salvation. And now I'll read from the full scripture today from Acts. It's Acts 4, verses 8 through 13. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, how do others know you are Christian? By your love, words, study, actions? How? Now we'll turn to the commentary for Thursday, January 19th, beginning with Psalm 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he shall give you your heart's desire. I was once taught that translation was making the past speak to us. I was inspired to study ancient Greek in school because it gave me a very small window into the time of Jesus and his disciples. Over the years, I've learned that our individual translations are equally as powerful. The Holy Spirit continues to breathe life into the words of Holy Scripture, allowing them to speak to our circumstances. So it is a delight and surprise whenever I hear a familiar verse in a new way. I remember a sermon where the preacher changed the emphasis in today's psalm, "God shall give you your heart's desires." I'd always understood it as God answering our prayers. Suddenly I heard it in a new light. I often don't even know what the desires of my heart are. I do not know what tomorrow will bring, much less my future. But God does. All these things are dear to the heart of God. God is the very author of all love and goodness in our lives. Draw near to God in prayer, and God will reveal the desires of your heart to you. And the moving forward question for this day is, can you recall a time when a sermon or reflection prompted you to think of Scripture in a new way? The commentary for Friday, January 20th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 38. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" In 1878, at the height of the yellow fever epidemic in Memphis, five Episcopal nuns stayed to nurse the ill while half of the city fled to higher ground. The Sisters of St. Mary had been sent to Tennessee from their mother house in New York to begin a school for girls and a church home for the poor. The epidemic interrupted their plans, and the sisters stayed to tend the sick and the dying, believed to number 200 a day in the city. Mother Constance was among the first who died at St. Mary's Cathedral, along with three other nuns and two priests. The Sisters of St. Mary were in Sewanee in Tennessee, are descended from the martyrs of Memphis. When we cry out to God, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus answers with his presence, just as the Memphis sisters did, not abandon those in need. Jesus is right here in the boat with us. And now I'll read the full gospel passage for this Friday, January 20th. It's from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus stills a storm. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And the moving forward question for this day is, how do you support those who are in hospitals, nursing homes, and prisons? The commentary for Saturday, January 21st, begins with the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 15. "As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace." I attended a kindergarten named after St. Agnes, so I've considered her a patron saint. Agnes was martyred as a child in Rome about 304 CE. She was born to a wealthy Christian family and received many offers of marriage, but chose to consecrate her virginity to God. It is said her enraged suitors handed her name over to the authorities, who carried out the Roman Empire's last and bloodiest persecution of Christianity under the reign of Diocletian. Tradition tells us that Agnes was 12 years old. In today's reading, St. Paul walks us through putting on the armor of God. While the other pieces are listed by name, our shoes are instead described as whatever will make us ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. God's peace is something for which we prepare, but it will not always be what we expect. As St. Agnes's life shows us, the good news sometimes looks foolish compared to the world's ideas of success or prestige. And now I'll read the full passage from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 24. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Titius will tell you everything. He is a dear brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Peace be to the whole community and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. And the moving forward question for this day is, what do you put on your armor of God? And now we end this week's program with commentary for Sunday, January the 22nd. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Many of us know the words of the Lord's Prayer by heart. We may even pray daily for God's kingdom to come and for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In today's gospel, Jesus reminds us that the kingdom of heaven has already come near. God's kingdom just may not be what we're used to. Peter and Andrew were fishermen by trade, but Jesus tells them they'll now be fishers of people. We all need the good news of a world turned upside down. The world and its status quo do not work for the least among us, the most marginalized, and the oppressed. God says that the last will inherit this coming kingdom. A new day is coming, and we are all invited to be a part of it. We are invited to turn from where we might expect to find God in the world and find that God is already there among the people. And now the full passage for today's gospel from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali. On the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, the light has dawned. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat, and their father followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The moving forward question for this Sunday, January 22nd, is, when has God done something unexpected in your life? And now, as we come near the end of this program, I'll read from Psalm 27, verses 1 through 18, the psalm for this day. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assailed me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me. O God of my salvation, if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of ForwardMovement.org. Goodbye until next time.